This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. In today's world, supply chains are all interconnected and part of global trade and manufacturing. Now, we may not be able to connect all the dots, but even industrial parks have their role to play. And so today, we speak to Simon Lee, the Group Executive Director of AME Elite Consortium, a construction and property group whose niche is building and running industrial parks in Johor. Morning, Simon. Firstly, congratulations on the listing of your company on the main board of Bursa Malaysia early this month. So you have mainly four divisions in AME, right? But let's start with the industrial parks, which is the biggest part of your business. So briefly, tell us about the parks that you're currently developing, where are they located, and maybe some figures in terms of the gross development value.
Actually, for us, we started off as a construction company, and then eventually we actually do small-scale boutique development. And we noticed surrounding of the industrial park, sometimes it's beyond our control. So in 2011, we chose to do our industrial park, where we have full control of the industrial environment. So we started off iPark at SLC in 2011, and also in the same year, we started off iPark at Indapura. Phase 1, Phase 2, and subsequently we did iPark at Senai Airport City. All these are actually managed industrial park. It's 24-hour security, full management. So it's very much different from ordinary industrial park. And also for our case, we actually customize a lot of building.
So you have a flagship project, right? It's iPark at SAC, isn't it?
iPark at SAC actually is our upgraded version of industrial park, and we actually call it the industrial resort. Well, why we do this is actually, now young people, they all want to work in Google office, Facebook office, Yahoo office. So we think for all the company to do all these amenities and sport facility and by themselves, it's going to be very costly. So in our park, we actually have a linear park with futsal, basketball court, linear park, amphitheater. And we also, it's going to have a clubhouse with an indoor swimming pool, gymnasium, indoor badminton court, and so on.
Is this in response to what our Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry, Dr. Ong Kian Ming, said about industrial parks? Because his point is that we have 500 over such parks in Malaysia, but very few meet foreign companies' definition of international standards. And they tend to be have poor infrastructure, and they don't contain integrated township facilities. So do you think your parks can meet this requirement and are ready for the future with this?
Yes. In fact, this YB Ong, our Deputy Trade Minister, in fact, also used iPark. And he said it's a benchmark for others to follow. In fact, our iPark in Napura, we have about 85% of the occupants from multinational company. And in iPark, Senai Airport City, currently, it's still in progress, but we already have 60% of multinational company in our park.
So who are some of these multinational companies? Can you share some of their names with us?
Yes. For example, in iPark Indapura, we have company from US. HID is a company doing RFID. And we also have company from Switzerland. It's called Luzi. Luzi is a company doing concentrate perfume. And we also have another company. It's called Simbun. Is also Switzerland company, and they are doing artificial bone. And we also have another pharmaceutical company, is called by the name of GN Resal. They're doing artificial hearing aid.
So why did these MNCs choose your parks over other competitors in the same zone? Because you have like Nusa Jaya Tech Park, Frontier Business Park, or even Eco World Business Park. It's quite a crowded space in Johor for industrial parks, isn't it?
Actually, our park is slightly different. And just now you also talk about now the actually foreign company, they actually want a good infrastructure. And in terms of hardware side, a lot of company, even developer, they can provide the hardware, so infrastructure, garden gated, proper management, landscaping. But for our company, we also have the software part where it's the people, our management. So our strong point is that we are able to provide integrated service from industrial park developer, construction, engineering. And also the key point of our park, key feature of our park is the workers' dormitory. And all in one park. And when we talk about integrated, we actually able to complete industrial building in a very fast manner. Say a factory of about 200,000 square feet, we can actually complete in 6 months and 2 months for the CCC. So when multinational company come to Malaysia, they actually want to have hassle-free. So somebody to do everything from them. They don't have to buy a piece of land, call tender and take times. And we actually do a lot of customization, which means they tell us what they want, we do according to what they need.
Okay, and then are you not worried about Johor? Because all your industrial parks are in Johor, right? So, I mean, is there a reason for that?
Actually, that's why we go for IPO and we hope to expand beyond Johor into other states. And Johor is our home ground. So we started out in Johor. And during that time, the government actually put our emphasis in Iskandar. And that's why we captured the opportunity. And also because it's proximity to Singapore, a lot of MNC also coming from Singapore to Johor.
Which is my next question exactly, because there are 117 industrial parks in Johor State alone. And I mean, recently, the Iskandar Development Authority CEO, Dato' Ismail Ibrahim, was on the Breakfast Grill too. And he acknowledged there's a slowdown in the state, some of it related over delays of key projects. And of course, property overhang, right? There's a lot of bad press, not just in terms of residential, but even in terms of industrial. I mean, what are your views and won't this impact you? Because industrial property recorded an overhang of 1,200 units worth 2 billion alone in 2018.
Actually, I have to clarify a little bit about overhang. In the statistic, they actually lump industrial park with business park. So I suppose a lot of overhang are actually those standard units where the developer actually built in bulk, say in one launch, 50 units or 100 units. So those are mainly also sell to local and also investor. Whereas our park, the difference between our park and other park is that we do a lot of customization. So which means under normal situation, we only build two or three units for customer that need to use immediately. Otherwise, we only build when there's a demand. So, rightfully, we don't have overhang. So, that's why we always explain to people because the statistic, they actually lump the business park together with industrial park.
But you will have capital tied up, right? Because you've already purchased the land. So, you know, your objective is to sell out all the plots as soon as possible, isn't it?
That's why for our model, we actually do it in a very fast turnaround. We don't keep a lot of land bank. We don't buy land bank just to keep it. We actually, when we get a land bank, we immediately launch. We do our master plan. We launch it in a very fast manner. So, for example, now iPark, I just call you one example, iPark, Senai Airport City, we launched in 2016. Yeah. In fact, it's 2017. We bought a land in 2016. And actually now, it's the phase one. Phase one is 90% taken up.
So, yeah. What's left in terms of your development then? How much percentage of land is still available for you to grow your industrial park segment?
For iPark at Senai Airport City, we
have... In overall?
In overall, we have about 140 acres for iPark at Senai Airport City plus iPark in Napura. And we are currently also looking for a new land bank, which is why we're going for this IPO. Yes.
The risk, of course, is if you can't replenish the land bank, right? And ideally, it should be contiguous parcels next to each other.
Not necessarily next to each other. And we normally look for land size around 100 acres, which is good for our managed industrial park with all the amenities. And we have been actively talking to a lot of landowner. And we have a very, very good relationship with the main developer who are having a big land bank. We do not see any problem in getting land bank from this vendor because we long-term relationship.
What about prices? Have they come down at all considering the soft property market in Malaysia and of course Johor?
Yeah, now I think it's a good time to get land bank. And when it's just now, actually you talk about slowdown. In fact, for our sector, we actually see a pickup in demand. And that is primarily due to the US-China trade war.
So you actually benefit?
Yes. In fact, we see a lot of inquiry coming from China. In fact, also Hong Kong. Because some of the Hong Kong company, they actually have their factory in Shenzhen. So we have quite a few customers already confirmed and then signed up to. And some of the construction already ongoing. And that's why I say why the speed is important, because when it comes to dealing with this trade war customer, they want the factory very, very fast. So, and for us, we can actually build very fast for them.
But I would think that if you think global growth is slowing and you can see a potential, some people even say potential recession happening, won't your customers actually hold back in making these decisions and spending any capex or heavy capex to build a new factory?
The way we see is the current trend now is that due to the shift of the business, so some company actually they have a risk mitigation plan. A lot are actually looking at Southeast Asia. So we can see a trend of people coming, manufacturer coming to Southeast Asia, whether they are going to Thailand, Vietnam, Indonesia or Malaysia. And we actually benefit a lot from this. And also, we in our part, because we actually engage with our customer, we also see continuous expansion from our customer. For example, just now I talked about HID, they actually expanded in our part also. Even GN Resound that I talked about, the hearing aid company, we are currently doing the expansion for them.
Okay, we will discuss this in detail on whether it will be reflected in your future revenue numbers for 2020 or 2021. But I move on to construction also. I mean, you've got, that's another big part of your business. Actually, it's the largest contributor in terms of profit and revenue. I mean, currently your order book stands at about 380 million. Do you have external jobs?
Actually, the 380 million that is mentioned is actually all external order book. Because all the internal order book will be actually eliminated along the process to, and we capture the revenue and profit in the development side. So for our construction arm, 1 year we can actually do a total of about 500 million construction revenue. But part of it is be internal and another half is external. Also to share with you, actually we also have another core income from recurring income. From leasing of industrial building, and also the workers' dormitory, we expect the leasing side will continue to grow. Particularly the workers' dormitory, it will contribute a lot of income to us.
But at the current juncture, those divisions are relatively small, right, versus the overall business.
Currently, construction contribute about 40% of the profit. Property contribute about 40% of profit, and recurring income contribute about 20% of our profit. We expect recurring income to gradually move up to even 30-40% of our
So to profit. Have almost equal share?
Perhaps in 1 or 2 years.
And how much external jobs are you currently tendering for?
We have about 780 million of project that value of project that we are tendering currently. Yeah. But our project, to also clarify, we are not like doing a housing project, condominium. Usually our project is within 8 months to 18 months. If you talk about Harris building, probably 3 years, 4 years. So our order book is normally, we should able to complete all in maximum 2 years.
And what are the GP margins, like the gross profit margins?
For construction,
yeah. Where do you think it's heading? Because currently your construction margins are quite good, 20%. Is this sustainable though? When you see some of the GP margins for some of your competitors come under pressure, there's a lot of competition in this space.
Yes. Actually, we are doing a big manufacturing plant. So in a way, we try to avoid too much competition. And our GP margin usually range about 15 to 20%. So that is also depend how hungry we are when we tender for project.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Simon Lee, the Group ED of AME Elite Consortium. After we come back, we will take a deeper look at the financials and why they decided to go public when the trend seems to be privatization. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Simon Lee, the Group ED of AME Elite Consortium. Earlier, we were talking about their industrial parks and how they differentiate themselves in a very crowded space when there are more than 500 other competitors in Malaysia. Now, I have to ask you why you want to go public and why list. a lot of companies, you know, it's not something they pursue anymore, especially in this, I would say, bearish market where they can't get the valuations they want.
Actually, we believe the share price, it will be eventually reflect by good result. So I think a company, you should just focus on doing good job, giving good result, then you reflect in the share price. Why we go for IPO? Because we think our brand, iPark brand, is doing very well in Johor and in fact also in Singapore. We think we should not restrict the brand name just in Singapore and Johor. We should then do the similar product in throughout Malaysia. But for property development, you know, it's buying land bank is very costly. You need a lot of money. So by remaining in private, it's very tough for us. And yes, we can do, but the pace can be very slow. And so that's why we choose to go for public. And also the other point is in terms of attracting talent, being a private company, sometimes people want to work for a big company. So to be in public is also good for us. And for our customer to also check on us. Sometimes multinational company, they want to check, hey, who are you, this developer, whether you are reliable, whether big enough. So being public is very easy for customer to just counter check and our performance and our company.
Now you raised 110 million ringgit from the IPO. So what's the use of the proceeds? Is it to buy land bank, I presume?
Yes, as you mentioned, land bank is very important to us. 62% will be used to buy land bank. And about 21% is working capital.
So tell us, if we are a shareholder of AME, what will we benefit from? Will we see capital appreciation or dividends? Because you're only giving out a 20% payout ratio, right? So where is the growth going to come from?
It's a question always asked by investors. Some, they want to have a big dividends, but also some, they are looking for growth. So our company, we actually... to give about 20% of the profit after tax as a dividends. But we are also looking for long-term growth for our company. That's why you can see why we are getting more land bank, and it helps to also generate a lot more revenue and eventually the profit. And also the recurring income side, we currently completed two workers' dormitory. They want to give a very stable income. We see we're going to have a very good growth in future, talking about double digit.
Because if I look at just the current profit after tax for 2019, right, which is 51 million ringgit, it doesn't translate to an extremely cheap PE, right? It's almost, if I'm not wrong, 11 times PE. And that's not cheap when you compare it with some of your peers, your already listed peers, right, who are trading at much lower PE multiples. So tell me, what kind of growth are you expecting? Is it going to be 10, 15, 20%? For your earnings in, let's say, 2020, 2021?
Actually, you cannot just look at pure PE to make the comparison. Even the developer side, we always say our company, there are few, like what you said earlier, four segments. So you cannot purely compare just PE. We have recurring income that you can say we are just a small REIT, in fact. So you must consider sum of part where the revenue from property construction as well as the recurring income.
Okay, but even if I just look at it from a net asset value, right, your net asset value per share is 140. But now the share price is hovering around 160. So I might even say that there isn't much upside left. And in these bearish markets, valuing the company against its intrinsic value is probably a conservative but better option. So why should I continue to hold or even buy more AME shares?
Actually, the current situation of the trade war actually benefit us. We can see immediately next 1-2 years, we will actually enjoy a good growth from this trade war. And a lot of analysts also think that even after this trade war, the company that migrate to even Southeast Asia is not going to be stopped, because it's something that people are now worried about another trade war or maybe between other country. So this is something. And with the addition of a few part in future, we will see naturally the revenue and profit will also double.
Because if I look at the results, right, if I look at the past figures from your prospectus, there is a little bit of concern for me, because if I see the numbers, there doesn't seem to be any consistent growth. I mean, for example, in 2017, you made a profit of 57 million. Then in 2018, it went to 78 million. Then fell back to 51 million in 2019. And it's similar in terms of the trend for the top line. So is there going to be a difference in 2020 and 2021? Are we going to see a nice positive trajectory then?
I would expect to have a positive growth in years to come, partly because of the expansion of our national park. And when you talk about the dip or of the earning or profit, sometimes it's different due to the cycle. Let's say when we launch a industrial park, during the early stage, we usually price a bit lower to attract people. And then towards the tail end, the profit is higher. So you can see sometimes due to the cycle, but we foresee this to be smoothened out in future as we have more industrial park. I think this cycle kind of effect will be smoothened out.
I mean, of course, you sound very confident about the business, but then you are also offering for sale of AME shares, raising 55 million ringgit for you and the other majority shareholders. So you're reducing your stakes. Now, if you believe in this company and you own it and you have so much confidence, why are you reducing your stake?
So currently, all four partners, we are holding about 70%. You don't think so? Holding 70% is strong confidence of the company? We are holding 70%. I would say it's a strong indication that we have the confidence in the company. That's why we want to hold 70%.
But there are some IPOs where they don't do an offer for sale.
Offer for sale, I mean, that's a different story because we have been working for this company and contributing to the company for more than 20 years. I think that is a small gesture to reward the shareholder, the owner for working so hard to bring the company to this stage. But towards the end, we are still holding 70%, which is significant.
And I also note that your company has quite a few relatives working in senior positions and among directors. I mean, there's even the second generation involved, right? So the managing director of AME Engineering, director of AME Construction, and even one of the EDs is the second generation. I mean, is this nepotism or really the best people for the job?
Very good observation from you. But that's why we want to go for IPO. We want to attract talent. And we want the best people to manage our company. If we can continue to be a private company, probably what you say is true. It's going to be managed by relative family members. But we choose to go for IPO. We want to attract people. We want to choose the best people to manage our company.
But do you think there's the risk of us, Malaysia, losing our competitive edge? Because I have seen industrial parks in the likes of Thailand and Vietnam. You know, they are large tracks. They have large multinational companies also. They have a source of labour. Do you think we are losing that edge compared to some of our regional peers?
I don't think so because look at the MIDA statistic. Actually, our compounded growth is about 10.9% for manufacturing sector alone. So I think still a lot of opportunity there.
On that note, thank you for your time, Simon, for giving us some insight into industrial parks and how they are the key in moving Malaysia towards the right direction, especially for IR 4.0. I'm Wong Xiaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.